Hello, everyone. This program is sponsored by www.banyanhypnosismall.com, the place with the good stuff hypnotists want. Books, tapes, CDs, DVDs, articles, scripts, and, of course, live courses. It's our intention to bring you the top professionals in the field of hypnosis who can give you the inside scoop on hypnosis, the hypnosis business, and our profession, as well as related topics such as NLP and self-help. This is Cal Banyan. I'm author, writer, and hypnotherapist. I'm the developer of the 5-Path Hypnotherapy System and 7-Path. Let me tell you what, before we get started with Tom Nicoli and his great seminar today, let me get in a plug for a couple of things I want to plug. After all, it's my show. Please visit my blog, which is www.calbanyan.com. If you want to learn about classes that I'm giving, please go to www.hypnosiscenter.com. And, of course, there's the mall. And let me give you some news. We've got the Week of Power Advanced Hypnotherapy Certification course starting on Sunday. So if you want to step up to that next level, become a 5-Pather, and get certified in 7-Path self-hypnosis, give us a call and get the information right away. We've also got an NGH-approved hypnotherapy certification course here in November, the 6th through the 17th. That's here in Tustin, California. And then also, if you want to do a little traveling or if you live in Asia, there is our same course, the NGH-approved hypnotherapy certification course, the 5-Path and 7-Path in Singapore. And that will be from the 4th through the 15th with the weekend off. All right. Let me introduce to you my friend, Tom Nicoli, author, speaker, and trainer. Tom has appeared on television and many radio shows. His articles have appeared in many different publications around the United States and around the world, as far as I know. Because of his media visibility, he's become a well-known spokesman for the profession of hypnosis. He's a board-certified hypnotherapist or hypnotist with the National Guild of Hypnotists, certified in pediatric hypnosis. He's NGH-certified instructor. And all-around nice guy, and he's quite a musician, too, in his former life. And he still does play gigs with his band. And I was lucky enough to be able to jam with him a little bit at this last NGH convention because I'm getting back into playing a little bass like I used to do a long time ago. Tom's been involved in the study of hypnotism for 19 years. He owns and operates a Better You Hypnosis Incorporated in Woburn, Massachusetts, and is the founder and principal instructor of the New England Institute of Hypnosis. He is author of Depth of Human Behavior and Truth About Weight Loss and A Better You by Hypnosis, two books that you can check out. He's also the recipient of some awards from the NGH, and those include the 2003 Charles Tevitz Award, Spreading the Light of Hypnotism, 2004 Hypnotism Achievement Award, and 2005 Special Recognition Award. Today, he's going to teach us about how to really be successful as practicing hypnotists. We're going to learn about how to work with analytical clients, the power of positive reframe, the importance of landscaping, the importance of clients' backdrop, and how to create the halo effect of publicity. Well, there's my introduction for you, Tom. Why don't you come in, tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe how you got started in hypnosis, and anything you think we need to know before you launch into your seminar.
Well, thank you, Cal. That was a wonderful introduction. And I'll do everything I can to make sure I deliver the goods, as it were. One thing I want to point out to people, they're a little bit misled when they hear that I've been involved in the study of hypnotism for 19 years. I have not been in practice for 19 years. I was doing many other things, but I was learning about what hypnotism is indirectly, like most people, first thinking it was what was termed visualization and goal imaging and all of that. I had gone through a lot of material, learned a lot, researched a lot, but I didn't get certified until 1999, and 1 month after I was certified, I opened an office, and it's been about 4 years now that I've been full-time, and I have been able to increase my success in my client success and financial success, which I'm going to share some of that information today as how people can do that. And I first want to thank you, Cal, for allowing me this opportunity to share this time with you. And for all the people who are here on the call, I know it could be a difficult time, but that's something that will tie into what we'll talk about a little bit today, is that there's a reason why I'm able to sit here at home in my study on Friday. I do not work on Friday anymore, or Monday. I only work 3 days a week at the office and do all these other things that we'll talk about that will lead to multiple streams of income, because quite frankly, yes, we need to primarily focus on the client and have success with the client in our services, but this is still a business. So we must focus on that as well, or we're not going to be able to see any clients and help any people. So, Cal, I'm going to throw this back to you just for a moment to see if there's anything you want to add before I take off.
That's great, Tom. We're getting you loud and clear. You look good. Before you get into your seminar, according to my notes here, you've got a upcoming workshop with Will Horton. And if you could just give a little bit of a plug for that. And I know we've got it listed on our Banyan Hypnosis Mall. If they want more information, they can just click on the link there on the screen and check it out. But if you could just tell them a little bit before you get started on your seminar, that'd be really helpful for everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Cal. I'd like to lead into that. It's a weekend, October 28th and 29th. I'm going to present an all-day course that I've recently put together and have presented on two different occasions now, and the testimonials speak for themselves. I'd rather have you, the listener, the reader, the potential attendee, hear what other people had to say instead of me giving you my opinion, of course. And I'm going to present Saturday advanced techniques for the practicing hypnotist, which includes a phenomenal amount of information. I really have to work at really getting it all in one day. And then Will is going to share some information the next day that are NLP techniques to speed up success. But I want to lead into this with a very brief story. There was somebody that I knew who used to work three jobs, had a family, wife and a son, lived lower middle class, grew up lower middle class, and did everything that he thought he should do to succeed. Worked harder, pushed more, used more force, stayed awake 20 hours a day, working 6-7 days a week. And it wasn't until he started to filter through so much information, so many courses, so many books, and so much personal application, where he started to learn these techniques and these strategies that set him free. The person is me, actually. And what we're going to do this weekend is the first time ever, and it may be an only time considering Will's schedule and my schedule, is that what I'm going to share, I have only shared up until now with close friends and some colleagues. So what I'm going to do along with Will on that weekend is we're going to actually just open up the floodgates and we're going to present the information that we personally use. You see, I'm not the person who learns about techniques and strategies and hypnotism and then go out and relay that information that I learned from others. This is information I apply to be able to no longer do those 2,000 sessions a year that I was doing for the past few years. Well, I'm going to even tell you how you can get 2,000 sessions a year. But I was able to reduce my workload and work smarter and not harder and increase income to a point where I used to dream of living like this. And that's what that weekend's going to be about, and the details can be found through a link that we have here. When you click that, you'll see all the details. You want me to just keep continuing, Cal, and go down the list?
You're doing great. Go ahead.
As I see a couple of these notes coming by, three jobs, mind dump, ouch. One of those jobs was building my practice. You know, I was managing dental laboratories, doing Formalt reconstruction dental technology, which will really suck the brain right out of your head and exhaust you. Then I'd go do some sessions at the office and then go do a gig as a musician and get home and get to bed by 4 a.m. But I believed that's how it was done. You know, you worked hard, but boy, that isn't the way. So let's talk a little bit about working with clients and not having to work so hard, especially when you have somebody like an analytical client. An analytical client can drive a hypnotist crazy, as we know, because they can be very, very difficult. And I know this because I've been there. You know, they say, I've been there, I've done that. Anyone who's been in my class, or any of my classes, and some of the people on this list have been, I tell all the mistakes I've made. Because it's important to know that if you don't make mistakes, you don't learn. Well, I used to take my training, do those progressive relaxation inductions, and try them on analytical clients. And I didn't understand why it didn't work. So I rationalized that it must be because of the percentage of people who respond to hypnosis. And that's what it must have come down to. The truth is, I didn't know enough. The truth is, I didn't realize that I didn't have enough in my induction toolbox to work with all types of people. So the best way to work with an analytical client is to first find out if they are through your intake form and questioning. When you realize this, make sure you are clear and concise with your pre-talk, and then to deliver confusion techniques and rapid inductions. Rapid inductions and confusion techniques are going to bypass the critical factor, the analytical mind, and you'll be able to work with the analytical client. I remember working with a gentleman from China who was an engineer, and he said to me, I am analyzing you right now as you speak to me. And this was the pre-talk. However, when we were finished, though he meditated daily, he said that was the deepest he ever felt he had gone into his own subconscious. So you see, it's not difficult, but it's applying what it is that will work. So analytical clients, make sure you know they are. Rapid induction, immediate deepener with any rapid induction, and then confusion techniques. Then once you have that client where you know they should be in level 3, 4 or so, somnambulism, or even deeper if you need to with the work you're doing, then you just maintain that and do your work. After I cover each point, Cal, I'm going to pass it to you and you can tell me to continue.
It's going really good. I just want to hear more. Lay it on us there, Tom.
Okay, another one of the topics that I want to cover today is what we call the client's landscape. The client's backdrop is their landscape. They tie in together. And I'll make this very simple to understand. Too many people, and some of them have been in practice for over 10 years, commonly use a beach metaphor to relax. Well, how about you talking to me, and I dread going to the beach on a hot, sunny day because I'm going to get sunburned, and I don't like that. Or how about you talking about the beach metaphor to somebody who lives in the Midwest who's never actually seen or been on a beach? They might be able to imagine it, but they really don't relate. However, if you gather enough information from the client, then you're able to speak to them in their terms. Kevin Hogan explained it once in a class and related to Steven Spielberg that when he makes a movie, the first thing he does is he sets a scene that the majority of all people can relate to. So you're creating a backdrop. You're creating a landscape that you can now build upon and put the client into where they can relate to this. I had a client ask me why I ask what their favorite colors are, their three favorite colors. Well, if I find out their visual, and I do some imaginary visuals, and we're going through the process, the last thing I want to do is use a color to a balloon or something that's not related to them. And the last thing I want to do is not use a color if it can help with the visual, and I need to know which one they're going to feel comfortable with, which one they like the most. Again, I've learned this through mistake. I remember using green as a color during summertime when people would drive to and from the office and distances from other states until I heard somebody tell me they hate the color green. But I just assumed that this would work, you see. So the rejection was going on every time I brought that up because it didn't match that woman's landscape. So we need to sit with the client and gather enough information in order to know where they're comfortable, what they're comfortable with. Even though they may not be working, you know, we get a lot of older people who are retired. What did they do? And if they did a certain job or had a certain career, did they like it? Do we really want to bring them back to that landscape if they didn't like it? So we need to find this information out, apply this information, and use it, because what we do is bring the information from them to us and back to them. And then you're going to have a much more conducive and successful session, because you're going to put the person in a place where they're very comfortable, very open, and it's going to be a lot better rapport. Cal?
Tom, that's really great. So what I'm hearing you say is you really want to take the time to get the information from each client so that you can maximize the experience by customizing the sessions to them. Also, I'm wondering about how much time do you spend with a client before you actually begin the hypnosis, part of the hypnosis session?
Two good things there, Cal. One was a word you used, customized. I hadn't thought of it that way, but we always focus on customizing the induction to the client. But, yeah, you know, everything that's going on here is every single client's unique and individual, though we're very similar in many ways. So to be more effective, we really do need to customize our approach to that one individual at that moment. The amount of time I spend, about 15 minutes in the pre-talk. The three-page questionnaire intake form that I have covers a lot. So I'm able to go through that, and I allow them to talk to me as I'm going. And as I'm going through it, I'm taking little notes for myself. And I'm learning an awful lot right there without having to go question, and answer. It's already been done before they sat down with me. I am always sure if I spend an hour, I tell people my sessions will be 30 to 60 minutes. So if I do spend an hour, I'm always sure to have 30-ish minutes for the session, because the amount of work I do is really involved. You know, it's not hypnosis, direct suggestion, emergence. I mean, that's what I used to do, and that's why I didn't have as much success, quite frankly. So the 15 minutes I spend could go to 20-ish or so. And then if they come in for the second, third, fourth session, I really don't need the whole hour. If the update is quick and easy, we get right to it, and then we're done, we're done. So in the pre-talk, and I think I heard Jerry Kine say this once, you know, pre-talk is king, and I don't think he's the first one to ever say that. What you gather in your pre-talk and what you remove from the client's assumptions and misconceptions in your pre-talk is going to be crucial as to how your session is going to go. Back to you, Cal.
That's great. Hey, tell me, I'd like you to kind of give a special surprise secret, maybe something you didn't plan on telling us today, something that everyone can leave with and go, wow, I'm really glad I took the time to listen to this. Give us some kind of insider trick or technique related to this.
Let's see, something I wasn't planning on. Here's something. I'll bet the majority of people that are on this list and those who will listen later advertise. That's good. I used to advertise. I remember listening to a gentleman at the Solid Gold say, all of you hypnotists who are new expect to spend 50% of your income on advertising. And I thought my head was going to explode. I mean, really. This is something we're going to get into in a little bit. But what I want to say is, advertise, but not in a traditional way, and advertise looking at spending a lot less money and making it up with publicity. Now, I was only going to speak on why publicity is effective, but I'm going to tell you now that publicity can take place of a lot of advertising dollars, and it's not going to cost you anything when you're publicized. And let me share something else with you. There's something I'm finding out, and it's been discussed casually from time to time. One of the most common presentations we all do is stress management. Change the word stress to overwhelmed. You see, stress is the second part of the formula. First, people become overwhelmed, then they get stressed. And the word stress has been so overused, people get numb to it now. So if you talk about being overwhelmed, feel overwhelmed? Are you overwhelmed today? Do you get overwhelmed each day? Family, job, friends, people, life, and just keep going with that? And everyone's going to immediately say yes. Then you can talk about a workshop you have to remove the feelings of being overwhelmed. And in the seminar, you can talk about how it leads to stress and all of that. But a lot of times I found people are becoming very blind and numb to the word stress. And you can help yourself out if you use the word overwhelmed instead.
Beautiful. I'm just soaking it all in. Go ahead. Keep going.
All right, Cal, I'm going to keep going. Publicity. Why publicity? Okay. I'm going to say it in the way it was said to me. When I gave an associate of mine a ride, she said, "Is this the Dateline vehicle?" You see, the publicity that you can receive when it's positive, because you can get some negative press, you can't imagine the return on investment, and the investment is zero. The investment is some time. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what I've experienced through publicity, and this is an opportunity for me to promote World Hypnotism Day, because the member resources for all World Hypnotism Day participants include how to get publicity, ways to get publicity, interviews, lectures, and talks. So it's all done for you. Everyone who's done it and has become successful doing it, we show you how for free. So some examples of how effective publicity can do, and I'll take a very simple little thing that a lot of you may have done already. However, when you gain publicity, know that the more you have to offer, the better your odds are of getting a return on this time invested. Meaning, if you only do sessions, well then, you better make sure that you're getting clients in to do sessions if that's how you rely on making money and that's your business. However, if you do sessions, and then you do talks, and you do seminars, and you have product, well, you have a lot more in the way of publicity. And here's an example. One day, 2 years ago, I did a 10-minute phone interview with a reporter from the Houston Community Newspapers. Now, these are those weekly free newspapers that you see scattered around. Now, I'll take almost any opportunity, believe me. I didn't know what it would turn into, but when we looked at the message in every order that comes through for my CDs that are sold online at TomNicoli.com, we figured that month we sold $20,000 worth of CDs because of the Houston Community Newspapers and a 10-minute interview I did at home while I had my feet up on the desk. That's one example. Now I'll take it to the other extreme, and of course something like national television like Dateline or the project I'm working on now can be phenomenal. But let me give you another example of publication publicity. Some of you may have seen or heard of the Shape magazine article a year ago. A year ago, Jean Fain, who teaches hypnosis at Harvard Medical School, and she also writes for Oprah O magazine about hypnosis and weight loss, she wrote an article for Shape magazine, and she rated six people's CDs, hypnosis CDs. Now, mind you, I tell you nothing to impress you because I can't impress anybody. I just want to impress upon you what's possible. And if I was able to do and still do what I'm doing, absolutely anyone can, and that's what Will and I are going to share, exactly how to do this. So imagine there's a full page, and on the very bottom, I'm the sixth little rectangle of text, but my CDs were rated the best of the best. In 6 weeks, we brought in $200,000 worth of CD sales. You see, I am going to prove to you that advertising cannot do what publicity does, because the very next issue, we put a $20,000 ad in Shape magazine. I have never spent that much money in advertising in my life, but I figured we're making that much money, why not? We broke even. Same guy, same CDs, leveraged off the issue previous. We broke even. We didn't even turn a profit. So I learned something there, that even the most optimum situation and environment for the advertising can't even come close to what publicity will do for you, because publicity does create what we call the halo effect.
That's great. Hey, let me ask you a question. How you talk about, and you're right, you know, you guys who are listening, if you don't already know, one of the great things that really launched Tom into the public eye was the Dateline show about weight loss. And he was the hypnotist that was working with one of the individuals who was losing weight. And PR, public relations, this is king. Much, much better than advertising. So if you can get out there and get an interview, I've been lucky. I've been on television a number of times and radio, and I can vouch for everything that Tom is saying. It is much more powerful. Tom, you were talking about that you had that interview, and you're sitting there with your feet up. You do a 10-minute interview. Can you share with the listeners how you got that interview? Hi, everybody. It looks like Tom got somehow disconnected, and we will get him back in just a moment, and we will continue. I see that Tom is back with us. Are you there, Tom?
Yeah, I don't know. Everything just went blank, so I just clicked log in again.
Good. Just let me take up where I let off. I want to tell you guys, you know, in case you haven't heard about Tom before, or where he really blasted into the consciousness of media consciousness with regard to hypnosis was his appearance on the Dateline show, where he was the hypnotist working with one of the participants in the weight loss program that they were watching, and he was, of course, was doing that with hypnosis. And I want to kind of reinforce what Tom is saying, and that is, PR, you know, getting there, getting on TV, getting a radio, having an article written about you, it is king. It's so much better than advertising. And so I'm really glad that he's talking about that. I know. I've been on television. I've been on radio. And the response from that is just great. And with that, Tom, you were mentioning that you were sitting there doing an interview for 10 minutes with your feet up. You had great response. If you could tell us a little bit about how you got that interview, that would, or any other kinds of tips about really specifics about how to get that kind of PR attention would be wonderful.
Good points, Calvin. Good question to ask. And it's the most difficult thing for me to answer sometimes. You know, people say, ask me, how did you get on Dateline? How did you get to be that guy? Or how did you speak at Harvard Medical School? How did you get that woman to ask you for your CDs to rate you in shape? The answer is, I received an email for each one of those asking me. And that's all based on my internet presence. I am really, really, really surprised, almost shocked in this day and age when people say they don't even have a website. Never mind how to market it and how to get traffic and how to get recognition, but don't even have one. Man, the days of print and brochures and all of that are over. I don't have a brochure. I don't do anything that's all hard copy. Everything's on the internet because there's more I can do there than I could ever do in person or with materials. The way that you're going to be able to create any kind of attention, any kind of coverage, and to draw enough attention to be interviewed is to appear to be the expert. Everyone that's listening now or later is an expert at what they do. If you know what you're talking about, then you're the expert at that moment. The only thing is, you have to let people know this. You have to let them know you're around. You know, sadly enough, there are a lot of people that are very, very talented, have really good products, and they're making zero waves out there. They're making zero money. I talked to a gentleman who I highly respect at the convention, and when he told me on his best year he didn't break $50,000, I almost passed out. And I said to him, you know, I'm able to sit home and never even go to the office and do $500,000 with checks coming into the mailbox each week. And it's not because I'm a genius, believe me. I'm just following whatever other people do. But you see, one part of, from the, and I'll say healing perspective, people who are in the healing arts, they're so focused on helping people, they forget about the business aspect. And folks, it is not a bad thing to market yourself. Because if you don't do it, no one else is going to, or the people who are going to are going to charge you an awful lot of money and not do such a good job. So, how do we get attention? The easiest and cheapest way to start getting Google ranking, to start bringing your website up when there's a search done, and how to get recognition is to start writing articles. Cal, myself, and all the people like us, we're out there accepting people's article submissions. Do you know I put it in my e-zine, my monthly e-zine, almost every month? Remember to submit an article to be included into my e-zine. What does that do for you? You know what that does for you? It lets you get recognized by my list. Now, I've worked hard to build that list. Cal's done a lot of work to build his list. However, when you're accepted and your article's put into the Banyan Hypnosis Mall or the e-zine that goes out from any of us that have that going on, that's a joint venture. You just buddied up with us. We got substance. We got a nice piece of material put out there, and you got recognition. Now you get some information out there. Then you do another article, and you go online, and you submit it to all these places that accept them for free. Article submission software is very cheap, and you can have thousands of sites post your article. And behind the scenes, those Google spiders are out there searching names and relative terms, and you'll start coming up. So this is the easiest, the most effective way you can begin doing that. Another way is to be more proactive and to actually contact people. Contact local newspapers. Contact local media. You see, media doesn't survive without a good story. Television shows, radio shows, they do not survive without good guests. We're very interesting guests. Our information can be very, very interesting. We're not just the run-of-the-mill kind of guest. Hypnotism is interesting, and it's becoming more and more mainstream. We have much more scientific data to back up what we do. And that's another thing. Go online, get the free data that's out there through Harvard and other institutions and Mayo Clinic and all the hospitals, and compile it and speak from this instead of opinion or the spiritual aspect of it all, because people just want to know facts. They want a proof, and the proof is there now. So when you start combining this information and presenting it, you'll have a better shot than if somebody says, well, I do this, and here's how it's done. And then you say, well, I'm not even going to tell you how it's done. Let Harvard tell you how it's done. Well, that has a little bit more impact. So if you contact the local media, and another way to get in there is to do presentations locally. You know, there are times I speak to 500 people at a time. But I have no problem going to the local library here in town and speaking to seven people, which is an actual situation that's happened twice. But each time I spoke there, the town I live in and the town next to where I am put that in their calendar of events, and the town over wrote an article that I was there, and they came and covered it. I just thought the woman was very interested in what I had to say because she was writing a lot. Little did I know she was a reporter. I recently spoke at a senior center in the town where I work. Now, why did I pick that town? Because I knew they would list me in the calendar of events in the newspaper in the town where I practice. You see the simple strategy here. I wasn't looking to get the seniors as clients. Maybe they'll tell family members and all that, but my point was to get the publicity. So I spent an hour out of my day and just drove over there and then back to the office, and the coverage was in the newspaper. They did the work for me.
Okay, all you guys that are listening, that 2-3 minutes was worth the entire hour. So many hypnotherapists, you're like psychologists and counselors and social workers. You don't get into this profession because you want to be a business person. You don't get into this profession because you want to get into marketing and PR. You do it because you want to help people. But if you don't become a business person, and if you don't become a marketer, then you're not going to be able to help anyone. And the things that Tom is talking about, I want to validate wholeheartedly everything he's talking about. My first website went up in 1996, We've had a thriving hypnosis center for years, and we never would have been successful without the website. So you gotta have a website. Think of it as an online brochure. And most of the time when I've wound up on radio and TV, at least with my first contacts with those producers. Now, once I've been on the show, now I have a relationship with them and I can pitch new shows. But in every other situation, they found me on the internet. Nowadays, when producers for television or radio are looking for someone to come on the show, they go to Google or Yahoo and they go looking. And so good placement with Google or Yahoo is really important. And remember, if you're a local hypnotist, you don't have to compete with the whole world. If you live in Boston, you're just competing with the Boston hypnotist. The producer is not going to just type in hypnosis. They might start there, but very quickly they'll narrow it down to Boston hypnotist and then start making connections. So then if you're there to answer your phone, that's another really important thing. You need to answer your phone so that you can say yes. Far too many hypnotists and hypnotherapists are letting their phone calls go to voicemail. You need to answer your phone or have someone who's educated on how to answer the phone answer your phone. Good. Keep going, Tom. I'm loving it. While we're waiting for Tom to speak, let me put a plug in here for something that I think all hypnotists and all hypnotherapists should be aware of. You guys have got to see the movie The Secret. And you can go to the website for The Secret Movie at thesecret.tv. And there you'll see a movie that you'll want to recommend to all your clients. But it's also a wonderful way for you to start understanding how your thoughts and feelings are affecting everything around you and can help you to be more abundant financially and business-wise and all that kind of stuff. Also, go to yahoo.com and go to the groups area and do a search for The Secret Movie. And you'll see that I've set up a Yahoo group on Yahoo groups for hypnotherapists and hypnotists to utilize the information that's shared in the movie The Secret. Okay, Tom, are you there? Looks like we might have lost him again. He might have a weak connection. So we'll just wait for a minute and see if he can get reconnected. Thank you for your patience. Oh, heck, I'm used to talking more than I'm talking this hour. So let me also say hello to Tricia out there in the UK. And it reminds me to tell everybody that this coming spring, we're planning on doing a Week of Power workshop in the UK. And the Week of Power is a week-long, seven-day workshop designed to take hypnotherapists to the next level and learn 5-path, 7-path, and instant and rapid inductions, all that kind of good stuff. Oh, I see Tom is back. And so take it over, Tom. I was just reiterating everything you said and telling them how important the website is and that kind of thing. Welcome back.
Thank you, Cal. Folks, as you're typing down here, again, please save your questions because you know, it's just by chance I happen to catch something down there. Josh, obviously you sound like you know what's happening out there, but you know what? You're right and you're wrong. And I'm going to give you an example. It doesn't take you 9 months to start falling into some of the research results. A friend of mine in Pennsylvania, Dan Vichoff, I typed in Pennsylvania hypnosis and couldn't understand why he didn't come up, why his website didn't come up. When I went to his office to spend 2 days with him to show him some techniques in marketing and just running his business as he opened up another practice. And Dan's very good at what he's doing. He just doesn't have the internet savvy yet. While I was in his office that day, I typed a press release and sent it out. I also put it on my blog. Well, the very next morning when we went back to his office and we typed in Pennsylvania hypnosis, guess what two links came up first? The link to my blog story mentioning Dan Vichoff, Pennsylvania hypnosis, and the press release that went out. So you see, when you type in a location, like Cal had said, that's local, And if you don't come up in that search, well, there's a reason. There's nothing out there about you that's going to return the result. So, again, I'm looking down. Folks, if you're typing, I'm not getting it. So if you want to wait and write it down and later ask, that would be cool, because we'll save some time for that. Because I'd hate to miss something. Another point is the chicken or the egg, you know? I guess the chicken or the egg thing would be, do they call you or do you call them? Which comes first? It's both. Yes, they'll call you after you have some recognition and exposure, but you know what? I don't wait all the time for people to come to me. When I have space or I have some time or if I'm just looking to promote something, I get on the phone. I get on the email. You know, you contact some people. You let them know what's going on. And you contact enough of them so somebody will respond. And as Cal said, once you get going, and it's real easy with local radio, you can become their person. I had dinner with a person last night after doing a television show, Paul Gustafson, who has Healthy Hypnosis television show. So he had said to me that he called the Jordan Rich Show on WBZ in Boston and asked if he could be a guest. And Jordan immediately said to him, I have a hypnosis expert, and that's me. So you see, once you get this rapport, once you become that person, no one else will even get in through the door. So you'll be their guy. Good Morning America does this, and a lot of TV shows. They have the go-to expert. You know, even people like Oprah, she has go-to people. So every time something comes up, they're not going to call anyone else. They're just going to go to you because it's a lot simpler and easier that way, and they can rely upon the fact that you're going to deliver and that you're, you know, responsible enough in that position. So let us take this a bit further, okay? Let's talk about joint venturing, which wasn't something I was going to talk about. So here's another little thing we'll throw in that I wasn't expecting to. I think it was Edison that said, I'd rather have 1% of 100 people's energy than 100% of my own. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you what. I'd much rather sit by my pool here during the summer and having people over and knowing that there are people at my office doing sessions with the overflow of clients and they're getting a percentage while I get the bulk of the money. I like knowing that when I send out a new release about a product I have, that I send it to my list, but I don't rely on that. I have people like Cal and a bunch of other folks that we all joint venture with together sending out my information to draw attention to my website through their people. So this way, instead of just my, I don't know what I have now, maybe 15,000 people or so on my combined list, that's not enough for me. I want to have six figures. I want hundreds of thousands of people coming to my website so I can convert that traffic. Well, I don't have that many people. However, when you start joint venturing, JVs are where it's at in leveraging. You get to use less time, reach more people, and have more results. And because of the resource that we're using right now, the internet, we're able to do something that people in business weren't able to do ever. We can hit a button and walk away, and it's all automated. So look into joint venturing, but joint venture with people who, one, have a viable list, not a bunch of tire kickers. I talked to a couple who have about 5 books out, and they've been on Oprah and Bill O'Reilly, and I was going to do a joint venture with them until I heard that their list weren't customers. They were just people who opted in for the freebies. I don't want people who want freebies only. I want people who download freebies but also buy. So when you send to a list that are people who are customers, well, you know you have a buying public that you're hitting, that you're contacting. Second thing is the person you're joint venturing with, of course they have to have a certain reputation, but do they have a product that you can also joint venture to your list so you both can have a win-win situation here? You can't just use other people. They have to be able to use you, too. And quite frankly, folks, you know what? That's what we all do. Husband uses the wife uses the husband, the kids use the parents, and the parents use the kids. I'm using Cal, Cal's using me. Not in a bad sense, but we're helping each other and using each other for a win-win situation. But if you don't have a double win, then you're not going to last long in your joint venturing. The easiest way to do this is to contact people you know of. You don't even have to know them. And just ask them if they'd accept an article in their e-zine. Post on their website. Most people will. They want substance. And they may ask, well, what do you have? So you may say, well.
Well, we're going to have to talk to Tom about his internet service. What I'm going to do is when we get him back, I'm going to have him finish this point up, and then I'm going to have him take questions. So go ahead and write down your questions and be ready to give them to us, because as soon as Tom gets back on, that's what we're going to do next, because I really want each and every one of you guys that are here for the live portion of this program to get your questions answered and be able to walk away with something that you can use today or next week in your practice. So here's Tom again.
Cal, you're freezing up on me again.
Well, we got you back. Come on and proceed. Oh, what I'm going to do, Tom, is we're getting close to coming up on 1 hour, so if you can kind of wrap up your talk, and then we'll take a few minutes of questions, and then we'll be done for today.
That's great, Cal. I'd like to wrap it up like this. You know, I would love to sit here until midnight tonight and share everything I possibly know. Now, I start most of my classes by saying, you know, I don't know maybe the best ways of doing things, but this is my way, and it's working pretty damn well. So let's get started. I have no problem with sharing at all, because I believe that the more you give out, the more you do get back. I'm not here to hoard anything. And a lot of the stuff I didn't create, I've just tweaked and worked along the way to adapt to the way I do things. But I want to direct you to the course that we're doing October 28th and 29th. What I've put in one day is more than I've done in all the classes combined. We're talking inductions, deepeners, landscaping, publicity, effective script writing, which brings me to something I think I missed, the power of positive reframe, and I'll make this very simple. The easy way to do this is you just explain to your client and you as well when you speak to remove the negative terminology. That's positive reframe, right? Everyone tells us what they don't want, and they wonder why they keep getting more of what they don't want. So it's important and really crucial to teach and to remind the client to always think and speak as they notice it and become aware of it in positive reframe, for it sends a whole different message to your brain. Different neurons go off, different synapses are fired, and different responses happen emotionally and then to your outcomes because of behavior. So the positive reframe is very, very important. That's another thing we'll touch upon that day. And again, you can go here through Cal's link. I believe Cal has the link here for the class. And any questions you may have, I think we should address now, and I'll let Cal moderate that.
All right, Tom. Is it okay if we move on to some question and answers, and then we can wrap it up?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was leading to.
Great. All right. Let's see. Do we have anyone with a webcam that would like to push the Talk Now button and ask a question?
Subra asks, what kind of NLP techniques do I use? I've never been trained in NLP. I don't teach NLP. Well, I do share NLP techniques that I've picked up on my own. And I use a lot of them, switch techniques, anchoring, rapport techniques immediately. As soon as I meet somebody and bring them in my office, I even breathe like them. I match and mirror them for a bit. So I use the common NLP techniques that are out there, but nothing really bizarre out there. Matter of fact, I can't wait for October 29th so I can sit and listen to Will, because one thing that Will's going to offer that weekend are techniques he's never shared before. And I'm waiting to hear that myself. But I use what you can find almost everywhere on the net, you know, a lot of the common techniques.
Beautiful. Anyone else with a webcam or a microphone that would like to ask their question directly to Tom?
Yes, hello, Tom. This is Dirk from Germany. I have one question. Do you use convincers with your clients, like your first-time clients? Do you use them in every session? And if so, what kind of convincers?
Good question, Dirk. I was talking to Don Martin after a presentation he did in Vegas, and a woman said to him during the presentation, I don't like doing depth tests. And I asked Dawn after, hey, Dawn, how do you think she's figuring out where the client is? Or how is she convincing the client that they were hypnotized after the session? And he shook his head and said, I don't know. Quite frankly, on the television show I did last night, I explained that there's two reasons to absolutely gauge your clients. One, it's the test, the gauge to us as to the Aaron scale, the six levels where they are. And two, to convince the client that absolutely something's happening here. Even if it's something as simple as eye catalepsy. I like to refer to it as eyelid catalepsy because the eyes really don't change. But when the eyelids really don't open and they're not sure they're in hypnosis, at that moment they realize, well, geez, something's going on. So if you're not doing that, so yeah, I use eye catalepsy. I do not use arm catalepsy in the typical format where it's stuck out and it's firm and hard because that's like the eye catalepsy thing where it's almost a gimme. I really want to know. So I do arm catalepsy when I have their arm just laying on the arm of the chair in their lap. And if they don't lift it from there, then I know we're headed to a good place. I will also do, you know, the Ullman technique of losing numbers. And then I may even do some positive negative hallucinations if I need to know the person's that far down. Glove analgesia, you know, the fingernails in the hand. So the common convinces and gauges what I use. Somebody's asking about NLP. Do you mean neuro-linguistic programming trademark or neuro-linguistic psychology where they use the name NLP? Silver, it's both the same. When Tony Robbins was going to be sued, he changed neuro-linguistic programming to another term, and so have another people. It's all the same. They're the same techniques, the same approach. They just call different things, just like hypnosis is guided imagery, visualization. And as Sean Brookhouse, who I think is extremely knowledgeable at what we do, he says, I don't care what letters you put on it or what name you want to call it, it is hypnosis.
Ed, I have a question. What kind of questions do you ask on the intake forms to determine whether the client is analytical or not? So do you include a mini personality test on the intake form?
If I'm correct, I think that might have been Joshua. Maybe not. I'm going to give you all an extra bonus today. Not because everything I do is so wonderful, but what the heck? You may benefit from it. I will email you my intake form. Sound good? I don't do psychology tests or anything like that, no. It's pretty obvious most times, isn't it, that we're working with an analytical client. You know, when I had a gentleman sit in front of me who looked like he just came off the TV show Boston Legal, and he was a lawyer, and he said, so, tell me about you. Well, my red flag goes up. Or when I see their occupation is something that would be an analytical type. Or if they just will usually tell you how, oh, you know, I haven't relaxed forever, and I don't know if this will work for me. You know that they're probably that kind of person to fall into that category that you would treat them like you would an analytical client. But again, email me, and I will send any of you my three-page intake form, which is a good thing to have just for the last part, which is the disclaimer to not accept responsibility for all success of clients and to not have to deal with the guarantee situation and all of that. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead and read the question at the bottom of the screen that was just typed in by SW, the mysterious SW.
It's what, when you give a talk and people say they're interested in hypnosis, what do you do to get them to call you or if you call them? People are so busy today that their interest level flags. Yeah, people are really busy today, but you know something? I don't want people who need to be held by the hand. I don't want people who are tire kickers, as we used to say in marketing. I want people who are sincere and serious because I don't want to struggle through my work. So what I simply do is when they email me and they want more information, there's no way I'm going to sit here and spend all kinds of time personally, and I'll tell you why I don't do this, responding to them. I simply say, please call our offices after 9:30 a.m. and Nancy will assist you with all information with our programs, fees, and scheduling. The last word I use is scheduling intentionally because the last word we see is the last thing we'll remember. The reason why I don't do everything personally, I do not pick up my phone, and when you call my office, you will not talk to me, because it creates a perception of being busy and of importance. It's not that I'm above it. I absolutely talk to people. I absolutely email people. I don't care where I am in the world. And I recently in Paris, and 3 a.m., I was answering email. 24 hours, I tell people, I will answer your email within 24 hours. So it's not as if I'm above it, but it creates a perception. There's a reason why I do it the way I do it. So unfortunately, a lot of people who aren't getting the business they want, they start acting desperately. But I don't want people to sense that. And I tell them when they say, well, you know, I'll go to somebody else if I can't get through to them. And Nancy will say, well, that's your option. However, if you do want to contact him, you can send an email and he'd be glad to respond to you. Now, if that person wants to go to somebody else, that's fine. They may come back to me anyway, or they just may wait. What do you do when you are not able to get good level of hypnosis? Chloroform. No. When you're not able to get a good level of hypnosis, understand that we don't, good answer, we don't have to always have somnambulism in play, because in the hypnoidal states, we can have behavior modification. You see, my belief is this, and I had an issue with somebody very prominent in a guild once, when they told a class, well, I'll talk to Tom about aversion techniques. They don't work. There's a technical term for that response. That's crap. Aversion techniques do work temporarily. So you see, if I have somebody in my first session, I need them to leave with something. I need them to know that something really is happening. So if for the few days or the week in between the next session, there's response because of an aversion technique, or there's a slight behavior change, but yet it's not really where we want to get, well, the next session is going to be better and we could build upon that. The only thing I can tell you, if you're not getting the depth you want, you may want to step back and look at the approach you took, and you may want to take what I feel is almost a safeguard to get good hypnosis depth, that is rapid induction with immediate deepeners and then add deepeners to the deepener. Don't just use a deepener. I am constantly adding deepeners even throughout the session. As I'm sitting here, I'll just look and read any other questions and respond, and I'll keep the camera on. Anyone else? What do you think of publicity ideas like some of the ones Jerry Kine has mentioned in his podcast, the manufactured protests ones? Every time I hear those stories, I cringe. Different strokes for different folks? No, I don't think I need to conjure up anything. Plus, when you listen to that podcast, I'm only assuming here that that might have been at another time when maybe protests were pretty common, and it was something that seemed cool to do at the time. I don't know. So you may want to ask Jerry where he's coming from on that, when he did that, and if he still thinks it's viable. But I don't think publicity, I think that's Barnum and Bailey publicity. I don't think publicity, I know publicity that I'm referring to isn't like that at all. I'm talking about legitimate publicity through interviews, through press releasing, through exposure and coverage. That's what I'm talking about. Anybody else? Any questions you may have while we get the time? Because I know Cal's busy and his people are busy. Matter of fact, you guys are so busy. It's unbelievable. You're doing tremendous stuff. But if there's anything else I can answer before we have to close up, please. Do you have any particular article, PR sites you'd recommend? Not necessarily, no. I wish I'm not getting enough people to sign up for sessions. After doing a workshop on hypnosis, I'm not getting enough people to sign up for sessions. I believe that if we're not getting enough business, enough clients, you're just not doing enough. I was doing a teleconference interview with Debbie Livingston in the Northern California chapter of the NGH. One woman said, well.
Hello, everybody. I think what happens is if Tom Lee speaks for too long a period, then the system is not able to turn all that stuff into packets, and then it just dumps him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mention a couple of things. We'll get him back, and then he'll say goodbye, and we'll wrap it up. So I see everyone's talking here, typing in at the bottom of the screen information about Maureen Banyan's Startup Business Pack, and she's got a really good CD available on how to turn telephone calls into appointments. And Maureen is the general manager here at our office, and she really knows how to turn phone calls into appointments. And she does a workshop at that on that every year, also at the NGH convention. Okay, and let me just say one more thing, and that is that the Week of Power is coming up to the UK in spring 2007, and also please tell your friends and colleagues about this program. We will have it posted on www.banyanhypnosismall.com by the end of the day, or Saturday at the very least. So if you have colleagues or friends who are into hypnosis, please have them go to the banyanhypnosismall.com, and they can listen to this and a whole bunch of other Meet the Pros programs, one other from Tom, and then many other leaders in the profession. Also, if you want to get a hold of Tom, please go to the banyanhypnosismall.com, and what you can do is click on the Contact Us button, and we will forward any emails that you want to send him. Once again, just go to the Contact Us button on banyanhypnosismall.com, and we will be able to forward any kinds of questions or comments or requests to him. I see Tom is back. And so, Tom, we'll get those last few words for you, and we'll call it a day.
First, Karen, thank you, because Cal and I actually love that word, rocked, as well. But Subra, NLP techniques, you don't need depth levels. The beauty of NLP techniques is it's mostly based on waking hypnosis. If you ever watch any of Tony Robbins' work, he just has somebody stand there on stage, close their eyes, and he changes them completely right there with the techniques of anchoring. He anchors them through visualization without going into huge depth. So NLP techniques happen in communication even. The way you structure your communication is a technique. When you speak in a positive reframe and you add what you want to happen at the end of your sentence, that's a technique. That's going to fall under NLP and what it does. But as Cal says, you know, this doesn't have to end now. You can email any questions. You can forward them through him. You can contact me. And again, anyone who emails and asks, I'll simply send you that free page questionnaire as well. So if that's it, then sadly enough, as always, time just flies by. And I'll let you wrap that up, Cal.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much for being here on the Meet the Pros webinar or webcast, whatever you want to call it. I really appreciate your expertise. I really admire your willingness to share. And I want to tell everybody once again, hey, gosh, if you can make it, how about 2 days full of information like this? Go to BanyanHypnosisMall.com, and we've got Tom Nicoli and Will Horton's Super Success Weekend, October 28th and 29th, with, of course, Tom Nicoli and Will Horton. It'll be a weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, and you'll learn how you can create super success as a practicing hypnotherapist. Make your plans now, and be sure to be there for this first-time-ever event. And as Tom said, Will Horton, one of the best-known people in NLP, is going to talk about techniques he's never disclosed before. So even if you've been in Tom's classes or Will Horton's classes, this is where to be. Okay, well, this is Cal Banyan. I'm wrapping it up. I look forward to seeing you at our next Meet the Pros program. And please check out CalBanyan.com for the latest hypnosis news and also my podcast. Until then, this is Cal Banyan signing out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only. May not be duplicated without written permission.